If Donald Trump wins and the Republicans take the House and the Senate, you're going to have to pray even more. Because what happens is there's counterfeit agents inside all these parties that are being supplemented by evil sources, and the evil sources are pulling their strings. So what's going to have to happen is through prayer, you're going to ask, you have to ask the Lord, you know, as they say, drain the swamp.
All right, Rabbi, let's just get straight into this episode. There is been a lot going on in the country, and a lot of spiritual leaders have really prayed into what's currently going on and what the everyday person in this country has been kind of going through the past 4 years and probably really pushing five with the pandemic and transition of the last election. It's just a really unique time to be a citizen in this country. Where do you see the power coming from? I know you had a urgent prayer on that one Saturday where there was an assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump's life during a rally. And we got tons and tons of spiritual leaders on YouTube and different platforms came together in prayer. And you know, we talked about in a previous episode how that kind of happened on Shabbat for you. I was hesitant to kind of reach out to Megan to try to see if you'd be willing to. You prayed about it. You felt led to jump in with an urgent prayer live stream. But where do you feel like things right now in August? We're just a few months away from November elections. Where do you feel like the country's at spiritually?
Spiritually, I think the country is awakening. I think the blessing in the assassination attempt, I'm talking about as a seer, to see Donald Trump respond the way he did. I'm into basically, you know, you have to train your mind and your subconscious mind to be able to respond during tests and trials in the right way. And if you really want to see like who a person is and for real, let them get put into that, what we call in behavioral science, that 18% moment, and see how they respond. And the fact that you watched him, he got hit, he went down, he had the whereabouts in his mind to get down. You know, that banner that's in the front, it's a bulletproof banner. And of course he knew that. So he gets down, and literally that one picture, whoever captured it, it's like he was on his knees. He's got blood running down his face, and he's, it's like he's praying. And then he stands up and he yells fight, and he does that fist bump to reassure everybody, listen, this isn't going to stop me. I mean, I was thoroughly impressed with the inner man of Donald J. Trump. He's truly a fighter, and it was exciting. But also, I know that the reason he turned his head at the last minute and he grazed his ear. If he would have had his head turned toward he would have been assassinated. That is the absolute answer to many people praying for him. I can't say, but I know people, I'm close enough in the circle that I know a lot of people have laid hands and prayed over him and prayed over Mar-a-Lago and anointed him with oil and anointed and stuff. Spiritually, he will never be the same person again, because what happened is the hand of the Lord came in and protected him from that bullet. And it was the prayers of the saints. And so I think that in a way, almost like a spiritual revival of prayer has been birthed into the atmosphere around the world with the hope that God's real, because my gosh, just the grazing of his, you know, it's just such a few millimeters in and he would have been killed. So I think it's the prayers of the saints, his prayers, family's prayers. I will say this, he's a lot more spiritual than what people, what you see on TV, and he's more spiritual than that. So, but I can say now that that was a huge wake-up call. I had a near-death experience in my life, and one of the things I'm praying for him is that there will be a time when you wake up. What happens is when you go through it, you're kind of in a state of shock and trauma, and then there'll be a day when you wake up and you just, like what happened to me was probably 10 days after my near-death experience, I was very close to death, that it hit me that it was the love of God that kept me. And I remember I just broke. I thought, wow. And I can tell you that's what's happening with Donald J. Trump. But the Lord needs that. Even that is an answer to prayer from so many people. And I can tell you, I know this because, you know, our broadcasts go around the world. We have people that are CLM partners from around the world. There's people, I would say there is many people praying from different countries for the United States and for the political situation here as it is in all over the world, because they know that the world needs, the free world needs the United States of America. And what God is doing in the spirit, in my opinion, is he's birthing justice.
Yeah, it's a pretty, I start off by saying that it's a very unique time. I think there's a lot of different areas that you can look at. I'm trying to think back to 2015-ish when kind of first know when he's going to be coming into the race, right? And you had a lot of Christians say one thing. I'll put it this way. I think Christians that have publicly made their opinions from all aspects of one-on-one conversations to in-person, right, social media, you've got a couple different viewpoints as people who profess being a Christian would look at President Trump for, at the time, candidate Trump, right? Is this the type of moral character type of person do we want in? And then you look at the other side, whatever the other side was, Democrats, Hoover's running at the time, and you push 8+ years, nine and some change. I mean, almost a decade of walking through all these different journeys and everything that's happened since the last election, right? Do you think Christians have been unfair to Trump in a sense of looking at, because I'm trying not to tiptoe around what I'm going to ask without getting lost, right? You'll have some Christians say, well, I can't vote for this person. It could be any type of election, right? It could be a local mayor to state to whatever. And they'll judge this one individual, right, based off certain beliefs. Most of the time, they'll get disappointed afterwards because they'll be like, well, they voted this way. This is one liberal-esque one way that, we didn't vote this person in. Do you think, especially in the moment that we're in August pushing September of an election year, we got a couple months left, that Christians over time, the past decade, have viewed him wrongly?
Well, I'll just tell you what I think.
Okay.
It's just me. And you have to realize, me is who's worked in the Middle East with the Israeli government for 30 years. Okay. And so I'll clarify this to the people too. See, you know, I'm friends with Bibi Netanyahu, but I'm also friends with Benny Gantz. So I'm friends with Yoav Gallant. All these guys are in different parties. We're all Jews. We all have one thing in common. We want to see the nation of Israel prosper and be safe for our people. That's the common goal. That's why I do what we do. But, and they know this about me. I say it to them. I say, I am not a politician. Okay. I'm a man of God. They know. They look at me as a prophet. So, you know, it's, and I do. I speak my, when they invite me to speak in, I speak what I think God's saying. It's not a party line. And so anyway, I've maintained these relationships for a lot of years over, you know, blue and white party, you know, Likud, labor. I was friends with Shimon Peres. You know, I mean, how liberal can, I mean, he, I love Shimon Peres. I'm friends with his son. I loved what we gleaned from him. He actually laid hands on Paul and I to plant olive trees in the desert because he's, you know, he's a dreamer. He was known as that, but he was so liberal and so left. And then you have Netanyahu, which is much more right. And he and I have worked on humanitarian projects together. So I say all that, now we're going to come to the United States. I take that same mindset into the United States. Here's different for me as a rabbi and a pastor. I work with governments. I work with the United States government as well, not as much. I'm not voting for a Christian or a pastor.
Ooh-hoo.
I am voting for policy. Remember, I'm a man of God.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay? The Israelis know this. I don't really care if you're right, left, center, but the policies that you are going to stand for need to line up with the Bible.
Mm.
That's all I care about. Because if we're going to maintain alignment with God's word, then we're going to be blessed from God. And if you want to kill babies and you want to do all this other kind of stuff, then we're not going to be blessed of God. So I'm for the principle. So, and listen, I've had this conversation with people. If I mention their name, you'd know who they are. I have pastor friends that really don't like Trump. His sexual background, yeah. Mean tweets. They don't like his hair. All the stuff. That, me, I could care less about all that. Now, you have to realize, I didn't get saved until I was 36. Christy and I met. We worked at Harris Casino, Lake Tahoe. I was valet for Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Don Rickles. I mean, I was in the world and everything that, there's no surprise with, so I'm not your normal pastor. I don't judge people off. I come out of that world. I know what it's about. I'm not in that world now, but I look at, does the person have the values, the integrity, and do their political policies line up, such as, are you going to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? Everybody else promised they would do it, but they didn't have the courage to do it. Trump did. The Abraham Accords. Oh my gosh. What a huge breakthrough. And when he gets reelected, you're going to see Saudi Arabia and Israel. There's going to be peace for 7 years. I mean, he's going to bring peace to the Middle East. Why? Because he's a businessman, but he also has the blessing of God on his life because he honored Jerusalem as the undivided capital of the Jewish people. Meanwhile, everybody else trying to negotiate with the Palestinian Authority, you know, East Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, all this stuff that brought curses on America. You have George Bush putting pressure on Ariel Sharon to evacuate Jewish people out of the Gaza Strip, out of Gush Katif, and he did, and it wasn't just a few days later that Katrina hits. So I'm more about policies, and for me personally, all the other stuff, we're not voting for the pastor of the United States. We're voting for the president of the United States. Does this man or this woman, and listen, I'm none of that bothers me either. I was raised by a very strong mother, and you know, and our daughter, COO of the ministry, you know, it's, I'm not like, that stuff doesn't bother me. Do you have the value? Do you have the intelligence? Do you have the whereabouts and the logic? Do you have the love? Are you like a Solomon where you cry out to God and say, Lord, they're your people. How do I judge them? How do I interact with your people? You have to have compassion and love for people. And one of the things I can tell you for sure with what they misjudge about Donald Trump is Donald Trump loves the United States of America and he loves people. He loves people. So all this other stuff is like, so, you know, does he have issues? Oh my gosh. I mean, he came out. I mean, this is a billionaire, playboy, New York, good-looking guy, unlimited resources. Of course he's going to have a past. That's what that is. But for me, that's who he, all the skills he learned being that businessman, building contractor in New York, of all things. You know, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere, like Frank Sinatra said. You know, he's got skills. He has experience and ability, obviously, to be able to interact with all sorts of different types of people. Those things qualify him to be a president. And so, so I guess I'm not sure I'm answering your question, but for me, I can look past all those things as, what are your policies? Let's bring the biblical principles into alignment with the Constitution of the United States, and let's be that republic for which we stand, one nation under God, indivisible. And here's the key, liberty and justice for all. I believe the Lord in the next 10 years is going to bring justice reform into the United States, because we don't have it now. We have a two-tiered system. I don't care what anybody says. It's like this group gets this justice and this group gets that. That has to be fixed, and man can't fix it, but God will, because the Lord's judgments are based off principle. So that's why we have to have God's policies. And, you know, listen, I'm not, like I say, I'm not a politician. I'm not trying to, I think people need to vote their heart, but I would say as a Christian, you need to vote according, you need to put your vote needs to line up with godly principles and not, you know, demonic stuff.
So I totally did not mean to give you a loaded question. You know, I think I answered it okay. No, I think you did really, really well with it. It probably felt a little loaded. I wanted to get into some of the big, I don't want to say debates, but like stuff that I just see and I've been seeing for a while, of this kind of knick-knack. You've got people playing certain lines of Christianity, and playing with politics too, right? And at least with how I kind of look at, again, I mean, like, take my opinion for a 32-year-old, kind of, like, really, basically wherever you want to go with it, is an area that I want to talk to you about and get your insight on is whatever party is represented by the president, right? So, like, Democrat, Republican, whatever. I always think back to, how does the everyday person, say, in this country feel, and how are they able to move about, right? Because I think from a spiritual side, there's one way or another that you can kind of go, depending on, which was a great viewpoint that you have, is about policy. And I think with Trump, you do have track record, right? I mean, like, what has he done? And really dived in and delivered on certain things that he said he was going to do.
Yeah, and the other thing for me, like, you know, listen, I always tell people, listen, I'm not balanced, so don't, you're asking me, it's my podcast, I can say what I want, okay? I don't think I would
say. It is your podcast.
I don't think I would be saying this if I was on Fox News or something else. It's not, but I'm speaking to you as my, most of you followers, it's just like you need, it's my opinion. I can have my opinion, but I filter. That's why I tell people I filter everything. I'm a businessman. I'm entrepreneurial, and so is Trump. And then the way like Bibi Netanyahu thinks, and the way some of the other people that they've had. The reason I've always gotten along with them is because we filter information through the same experience. Okay, so like the business stuff, the way Trump was doing business with Netanyahu in Israel, I mean, it was like a no-brainer. I knew these guys were going to get along because they're kind of, they have similar value systems. They have the same goals and the same results. Both leaders, very imperfect, okay? You know, I love Bibi. Bibi could say, listen, I'm very imperfect. I'm not coming from that. What I'm saying is that you see people like Trump, Netanyahu, and they say, oh, they're conservative, they're hawks, they're this. No, really, they are people who feel a responsibility to protect their people and prosper them. Both of them, I'm telling you, that's who they are. I'm telling you, that's who I am. That's who I am. I'm not about prospering me. I'm already prosperous. Those two guys are already prosperous. So once you've arrived at a place where you're prosperous, what you want to do is you want to make sure your family's prosperous, and then you want the people around you to be prosperous, and then you want your state, your nation. What happens is then you become what I consider a good steward or like a father of things, and that's where they're at. And so when I see policies that are trying to regulate business, anytime you see a party that wants to regulate business, it's because they don't understand business. Capitalism regulates itself through supply and demand. Okay? You can't control it. You can kind of try to
steer it.
You can try it, but look at Elon Musk. You know, the reason he bought Twitter, now X, is because he believes in free speech. And so he can't, like, he's not a politician. So what he'll do is he'll buy a platform to demonstrate, guess what? Free speech works better than when you limit it and you censor it. So that's the way his mind. But I can tell you, you know, I know all these people are controversial, but his heart is to bless and try to save the nations. That's who he is. And so he, with all his issues, but you'll find out that people who are pioneers and they make high impact, and I'll say this, and visionaries, that they move too fast, too hard, create a lot of problems, but they also create a lot of good. But that's how God created them. And I'm speaking as one. I make a lot of mistakes. I go too fast. I do all these things. But the reason is my passion is to help the people. And so if I do make a mistake, it's not because I'm trying to harm anyone. It's because of those things. And everyone we just talked about, it comes out of that same mold. Most politicians that I know, and that's why I'm not friends with most of them. I don't have anything in common. I'm not trying to get reelected. I'm not saying stuff so that you'll reelect me, and you know that has nothing to do with it. And that's the biggest problem, like with Trump, is that people don't realize. I mean, this guy is like a billionaire. He's independent. He's you can't take him and turn him into a codependent, manipulating politician. He's never going to be that. When he was your age, he was already a billionaire. He was already influential. So he's been that way. So to say, the cement's dry. And so what you have to do is hope that the Holy Spirit, and I believe through the prayers and the Lord sparing him from this assassination attempt, I believe you're going to see a tenderness. I think you're going to see a spirit. But at the same time, we don't want him turning into a pastor. He needs to be that international, apostolic, entrepreneurial, operating in all seven mountains of influence. He needs to be a little bit feared, because when you're dealing with the Putins and the different bad actors that are in the world, listen, they're already adjusting because they know, you know what? They'll all say, listen, he'll do anything. We're not sure what he'll do. That is a good position. You need to lead, and that's how Israel does it. You lead from a position of power, and you maintain peace with power. You don't maintain it with weakness. And you can't have a strong country without a strong leader. And we pray in Yeshua's name that the strong leaders that come in, I'm glad about this choice for the VP. And here's the thing. You have to have people who came from someplace like Vance, came from extreme poverty. He came from a broken family, and now look where he's at. You have to have people who can relate to the people's pain in order to be a bridge to bring compassion, to lead them out of the pain into greatness. And that's where this country's going. And if you want supernatural help, you better have policies that line up biblically with God.
I mean, what can the saints, what can believers do to not live in fear that it's going to happen, right? But to be prepared, because, I mean, they've been living it for almost 4 years now, right? And so I think Christians and people of faith, pretty conditioned up to this point. But I think everybody's looking for a brighter tomorrow type of thing. But, like, how could they go about it?
Well, my thing is, like, let's not go to, like, if that happens.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. But here's the thing. You have to be able to pray. And even if Donald Trump wins and the Republicans take the House and the Senate, you're going to have to pray even more. Because what happens is there's counterfeit agents inside all these parties that are being supplemented by evil sources, and the evil sources are pulling their strings. So what's going to have to happen is, through prayer, you have to ask the Lord to, you know, as they say, drain the swamp. And that's what didn't happen with Trump's last presidency. He did a great job, but he didn't drain the swamp, and the swamp killed him. So this time, I can tell you this, it won't happen again. But you need to pray, Lord, Father, God, for this nation. Anybody, you have to pray out the evil. You have to be able to pray, you know, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I'll heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. There has to be, to answer your question, and then we need to close because I've got to go. But here's the thing. Trump wins, we need to pray, because those who are going to lose are going to do everything they can, every dirty trick in the book, to try to sabotage him. If he doesn't win, the world is going to start pressing into the United States in the weakness of that win, and we'll have to pray. So either way, to answer your question, we need God, we need revival, we need an awakening, and we need to pray. But I'm believing for the best. I believe God is in control. I believe that the fall feast, we're coming up 5785. I've got a prophetic word, and the prophetic word basically is this. I'll just give kind of a teaser of this. Is the prophetic word is the Lord is going to raise up the kings and priests. It's time that Saul is dead, and King David is going to rise up as a king priest and restore the kingdom.
Okay. Well, you know, thank you for diving into this. I know me and Tucker have been asking for some content around it, and I think this is a good time frame. We're a couple months away. You know, I know people following, watching, they're listening, YouTube, Facebook, Apple, Spotify, really appreciate your spiritual insight, but just wisdom and prayer into it. And just kind of like you said, you know, I mean, like, we need to pray regardless and be aggressive with it. And I just appreciate you being willing to talk about it more.
Yeah, and you have to take a stand. And, you know, I've always stand for the principles and the righteousness of God. And I do know this, righteousness always prevails and love never fails. So you have to make a choice that that's your life. And you need to vote people in that are voting godly principles. And but you can't judge politicians off out of a religious church filter. It's not their level of Christian walk that's their qualification. It's their ability to be like King David and follow the Lord. And if you're going to follow the Lord, you're going to follow the Lord by doing what God says according to his principles, like King David. And King David had issues. He had the Bathsheba. And so listen, I understand all this. And if I've offended people with what I've said, I'm just sharing with you how I believe in my call. And I'm somebody that has worked with a lot of these politicians on both sides of the pond. And so I've had a little different view of some of them than I'm not speaking from Fox News or Newsmax. I'm speaking from being around these people myself. So, you know, I'm comfortable with what God chooses. And I'll close with this. Praise God that the steps of a good and righteous man are ordered by God. And may that happen in this election in Yeshua's name.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. If you're on YouTube, you're going to see the next video on your screen right now. If you're listening or if you're on Facebook, see you next time.